It's Monday, January 12th, 2015, and you're listening to episode 361 of Fear the Boot, a show about tabletop role-playing games and a little bit more. Running time for this episode is 37 minutes. Welcome to Fear the Boot. My name is Dan.
This is Wayne.
My name's Chad.
My name is Pat.
Let's talk Fear the Con.
Yes, let's.
Got three things we want to knock out of the way. First off, Fear the Con 8. Pat, what are the dates on Fear the Con 8?
June 12th and 13th, 2015.
With the wing night on the 11th?
Yes.
Okay. So June 11th, 12th, and 13th. So if you want to get that on your calendar, which you do. And two things about this convention that you guys need to know. First off, this year we have decided to finance the con a somewhat different way. There is not going to be a ticket price. Entry into the convention and everything it offers will be completely free. However, what we're going to try doing instead is using Kickstarter to fund the convention. And so basically what we're going to do is put up a Kickstarter. There will be rewards at the Kickstarter tiers. We'll work out exactly what all it is once we get to it. But we're going to have a Kickstarter of various tiers, and each of the major features of the convention, plus ideally some that we've not had in the past, will be stretch goals on that Kickstarter. The Kickstarter is not starting now. In fact, we're not going to start it for a little bit yet, but we want to get you guys thinking about it. So as you're starting to plan your time down here and what you're going to set aside for this, you kind of have that in the back of your mind.
So, Dan, I bet a lot of people are wondering now, well, why would we go that route instead of just...
Shit, I don't know. You tell me.
Why would we go that route instead of just having the ticket price be a reward? Well, one of the reasons for that is we don't plan on doing Fear the Con next year. So we want this one to be a big party.
And that is the other major thing I wanted to note about this Fear the Con. Fear the Con 8 will be this year. Fear the Con 9 will not be next year. There's some things that we need to review about the way the con's being administrated and how the finances, just a bunch of behind-the-scenes stuff.
Why that, Pat is embezzling hundreds of thousands of dollars in con money.
We also have, we have Pat being audited right now, and he's probably going to jail.
Right, yes.
For a long time. This may be Pat's final show, but as long as he's here, as long as he's out on bail, he's still welcome as a host because you know he's not embezzling the mics. Yeah. Sojourn 2? Is obviously still on sale. If you have not picked up a copy, check the show notes for a link. It has a lot of great stories in it, including, of course, the hit tale that should be a tradition in your household on every holiday, which is Gnarl Saves Christmas.
The hit tale.
The hit tale's right. Hit tale. That's right.
It is a tradition. Yeah. Of mine.
Let's I'd rather be hit that. By a tale than that book, because this thing is huge.
Yes. Yeah, this thing is over 500 pages, almost 600
it
pages
is,
long.
I checked it because I was curious, and it is twice as big as last one.
Yeah, this is almost as big as like half of a champion's book. I mean, okay, I'm exaggerating.
Come on, stop. Come on, let's tone it back.
It's a big book is the point. It's really freaking big. No, all right. But seriously, check the show notes for a link for that if you have not gotten a copy of Sojourn 2. Several of the hosts, a bunch of the fans of the show, several professional writers from the RPG industry. A lot of great stuff in there that you'll want to read. Let's get into a gaming topic. We have one that is more generic, more agnostic, that I'm going to be a participant in. But Chad wants me to be the audience for this one because I have never played Monster Hearts, and you have something or other to say about Monster Hearts.
Yes.
So go ahead.
Oh, yes. So Monster Hearts, I don't like it.
Because.
Wow. Mic drop, done.
It's awesome, by the way.
Yeah. Pat loves it. Wayne likes it.
Yeah.
Quite a bit. Yeah. And we're having a fun game. I mean, our Sunday group right now, we're playing Monster Hearts. Beth is running it, and she's doing a fine job running it. My opinions of Monster Hearts is no reflection on Beth's skills as a GM whatsoever. But it's not my kind of game, and it's not Dawn's kind of game either. I guess it has to do with what Monster Hearts is. I don't know. How would you describe it? Like, it's Smallville only?
No, the way I describe it is Monster Hearts is Gossip Girl meets Supernatural. It's original setting is that it's basically played in a high school, and it's set around the high school sort of clique mechanic, but it involves supernatural stuff. You've got the werewolves, the vampires, the
beautiful supernatural powered people having sex,
and it is, and that's why it's that you have to pull in the gospel, because it's all about sex. It's about sex, having sex, and having the click and everything. So
everybody has what's called a sex move, which is something odd or interesting that happens specifically with their character when they have sex. Everybody is supernatural. I don't think you can
There is a mortal.
Yeah, there's just one. But yeah, yep, most of the skins, one. Most of the character classes, they're called skins. Yeah.
The mortal is a skin.
Supernatural.
Yeah. But everything is pretty extreme supernatural, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just don't play, you know, maybe I saw something or maybe I have ESP. It's like, no, I'm a vampire or I'm some, what is Sarah playing?
I forget the name of it.
Kalaka?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, it's not a mummy, right? A mummy would be too simple.
Yeah, you talked about this in a prior episode where she can pull bones.
Yeah. It's like she's basically a hollow person.
It is actually Grim Reaper wearing a skin suit.
Yeah, yeah.
Is how the character sheet describes it.
So I have to explain what just went through my head right now, because you're talking about all these weird supernatural things and they have a sex move. And I'm like trying to picture, like, what would that be like? Because I've never played this game.
Right.
And the only image that came to mind was Mad Marge or whatever her name was from Pee Wee Herman's Big Adventure.
Sex move is a terrible.
It's just like, you know, you're in the middle of it. And right when you're about to, you know, that moment, your face just.
Yeah.
Goes claymation.
And like I said, it's a terrible name for it because sex move is such the wrong way of describing it. It's not like I'm playing Frankenstein's monster. My sex move is electric thrusting. You know, it's not that. It is what happens when you have sex. So I'm playing a ghost. I'm playing this 100-year-old ghost who was murdered. All this sort of stuff.
It's horrible.
Shut up.
Terrible.
My ghost that I'm playing, I told Beth, I'm like, I want my character to be murdered, but I want him to have, like, he doesn't know how. Maybe he was shot from behind, but I don't know. He does not know how. He knows it was a violent death, and that was it.
Because he doesn't remember the death itself.
Well, he doesn't remember it, or, like, if you get shot from behind in the back of the head, and you become a ghost, you don't necessarily know that you got shot from behind. You didn't see, you didn't hear it, you just died, right? It could be something like that. Maybe he doesn't remember, maybe it's that traumatic. Well, Pat's character, who's a witch, we wrote it in that his character kind of summoned me across the void, right? And summoned me here. And he had this flash of insight, or she had this flash of insight, and she saw the whole thing with her magic. So Pat and Beth came up with how my character died. I don't know it. And this keeps looking at me going, oh. Oh, it's horrible. It's like, oh, yes, I was 100 years ago. It was a civil war. And, you know, I died. It was really tragic. And then his character goes, it was horrible.
You have no idea.
I can't even talk about this anymore. It's like, shut up.
I can't even look at you.
So what is it you don't like about Monster Hearts? Is it the centrality that sex plays? Is it the fact that you don't like playing a high school drama?
Well, okay, so there's a couple of different layers to it. I think it's a great game.
Okay.
You know, and this definitely falls into the category of not my thing. The mechanic is really simple and it works really well.
It's based off of Dungeon World, so it's one of the many Dungeon World hacks that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
Or Apocalypse World, sorry. Dungeon World is a hack of Apocalypse World.
I don't like the sex part, but I'll get to that in a minute. I don't like the teenage click part of it. Because I don't like those kind of, like Gilmore Girls and that sort of stuff. I really don't like those kind of shows. I'm not.
Yeah, Dawson's Creek.
Yeah, I'm just not into that. I like people to be working together or to have tension. I don't like them to be catty. You know, I don't like the petty jealousies and stuff that.
So what about the game makes you play it that way, though? Because I mean, we certainly
It's the theme of it, right? There's nothing in the mechanic. You could play if you want. You could play, okay, we're going to play Monster Hearts, but we're not even out of high school. We're in a castle in Bavaria in 1914, and it's, you know, World War One, the evil World War One, and we are a team of werewolves. We're Austrian werewolves, and, you know, we're doing these horrible things, and it's really dark and grim and gritty, and there's none of this cattiness about it, but it's dark and sexual and stuff, and you could totally play that, but that's not the intention.
Now I'm just picturing all your characters in Lederhosen making pretzels.
Very fuzzy Lederhosen.
They're definitely pretzels made, not the kind you're thinking of. Yeah.
All right, so it's
but that's not the intention. Pretzels. I mean, it's like saying, okay, we're going to play Dungeons and Dragons.
Right.
We're going to make really Method 1 characters, and it's going to be, you know, we're really going to follow the rules and do all this stuff, and now we're going to put out a Jenga tower and we're going to talk about our feelings and things like that. I mean, it's just not quite
Fair enough. Yeah.
Intention.
The game is pretty heavily based on things like Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Right. Right.
I mean, there even is a skin called The Chosen that's part of the base one.
Yeah.
There's the sex move that comes straight from Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Well, and even the queen bee? The queen bee, that is a character straight out of Gossip Girl. That is Blair Waldorf from Gossip Girl.
I thought that came from Mean Girls.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're probably right, but the queen character, that is exactly what that was in there. And same thing sort of in Mean Girls, too.
Yeah, it's a trope. Okay.
So you do have that set up in that way. So, and I agree with you. If you like Buffy, if you like these other shows, which I do. So for me, it's like, I like this. I like those television shows. It's cool. So
Sarah and I were both huge fans of Buffy and Angel. And she's a Supernatural fan like Pat and...
The closest kind of TV show like this that I did like, Buffy was okay, but I didn't really watch a whole lot of it.
I still like the Christy Swanson version better.
Is that the movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, with Pee Wee Herman, though.
Yeah,
Paul Reubens stole that movie.
Well, and I think Christy Swanson, I don't know how she looks now, but at least at the time, I think she was a lot hotter than Sarah Michelle Gellar. But
the TV show that is closest to this that I really do love doesn't quite fit either, and that's the British version of Being Human, or the original version of Being Human, because in that, it really wasn't, sex was in it, but it really wasn't part of it, and it wasn't really catty, and they kind of had to grow to love each other, the ensemble cast, but they really did love and care for each other, like, the characters grew to be like family, and in this kind of game, you really don't grow to be like family. Maybe you have that relationship with one or two characters, but I really can't see the entire group overcoming and just loving the shit out of each other. It's just not in the cards.
So the more abstract topic to draw out of this is, what do you do when you're in a gaming group that is playing or wants to play something that you just plain aren't interested in?
Right.
And maybe
you flip the table, you throw a temper tantrum, full blown, crying and screaming on the floor.
We can start with what not to do. But all right, so here's the setup. You're in a group.
Yeah.
The group is about to start a game and everybody but you wants to play something. Or maybe you don't even know the game and you find
you're willing to give it a shot.
But then you find out you don't like it.
That's where I'm
at. Or maybe it's even a game you do like, but you just don't like this particular iteration of that game. Yeah. It's not your thing for whatever reason. Obviously, don't be a douche. I mean, don't flip the table. Don't if you're going to sabotage the game, go away.
Oh, my God.
And please. I don't think that's the best answer. I really don't think saying it's not my thing, I'm going to sit this one out, call me in 6 months.
Yeah.
I think that's certainly a fair option. And if you're the type of person where you're just going to sit there and be passive aggressive, or you're going to sabotage the game, or on every break, you're going to be like, hey, what if we were playing this game?
Or even the lowest level of negative thing you can do. You don't sabotage the game. You're not a grump. You don't throw a temper tantrum. You sit there and you do nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's bad. It's like you just show up and you don't hurt the game, but you just don't do anything. That's sort of a psychic drag.
Yeah.
On the
and
whole
if you're
proceeding.
That kind of person, then I would say, okay, it's probably best just to know thyself, have some maturity, and say, I'm going to sit this one out because I'm not going to be able to handle myself here. And I have had games, not many, but I have had games where it just wasn't working for me. And rather than screw up everybody else's fun, I did step away. But we were talking before recording this, and at least Chad and I, and I don't know about Wayne and Pat, we'll ignore them. I mean, we'll see what they think, is we don't think that's a really good solution because...
I don't either.
Well, you want to game.
Yeah.
You want to be around your friends. And I think that's why a lot of people will stay and sabotage the game.
Yeah.
It's because they want to be included. They want to be gaming. They just don't want this game.
These are my friends. I am not having fun with the game, but that's okay because I am having fun spending time with my friends.
That's what I was about to say. I can have a lot of fun with people.
Yeah.
Even if I don't enjoy what we're doing at the time.
Right. And it's not a martyr thing. It's not like, I'm giving up my fun so that I'll take one for the team so that I could be a good friend for them. And it's nothing egotistical like that. I really do enjoy being in the company of everyone. And I enjoy getting out of my house and spending time with people. And, you know, occasionally I'll be able to do something clever in the game, and that always makes me happy. And that's fine. It's like I may be a little down tempo in the game, but I'm going to participate.
For me, I run into a lot of this with systems. The guys I play online with, they love Savage Worlds. I hate Savage Worlds. Yeah, but it doesn't mean I'm not going to have fun playing with them. We're going to play Savage Worlds. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get past that.
Yeah.
It's like the system isn't helping me have fun, but this, my friends are.
Yeah.
And the really, characters
it's
are.
That it's more what you do in the game.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, for Savage Worlds, yes, it is a horrible system. We all agree on that. But
yeah, it's amazing just how this podcast have changed over the years. Yeah. This used to be, I mean, I do in all egotism credit a small percentage of Savage World's success to the unabashed pimping we did for it years ago. But that was with a totally different lineup. And then before
and I'm still the mindset,
I burned myself out on it.
Yeah, I think problem. Bingo. I don't really dislike Savage Worlds. I dislike Shaken. But that aside, it's just more, we played so damn much Savage Worlds. I don't know that I ever want to see it again.
You know, that's another way that you can get into a game that you're just not enjoying, but you stay around anyway. It's just like, all right, guys, we're playing D&D again, where you play the same game, not the same story, characters, or plot, but the same system over and over and over again. That would make me not have as much fun as I would want to.
The system doesn't bother me like that as much. D&D, that's, again, I cut my teeth on that and played it for years, and sort of the variations of the D20 system.
Right.
And you play multiple genres in it, because all that is that's the mechanical part of the game, which to you doesn't matter, Chad, because you hate the mechanical part. You're all about the story. So it doesn't really matter what story you're playing in D20. It's just that the D20 is a mechanic, but you can play whatever the hell you want to do.
I think you're right.
And I think we can do the same thing with Monster Hearts. Yes, the system is based on sex moves, and it's very sexual and that kind of a thing, and it can be clicky, but you can still modify the game that you play and make it about the story. And I think you do that. And like you said, it's not really your thing, but you still participate and are able to do the story-driven role-playing elements that you like to do.
And the thing that you have to realize, that if you are in a game and you are not enjoying the game, but you're not going to walk away and you're not going to do all the negative stuff, the reason you still have to participate, because if it is a good game, an FTB compliant game, done properly, the characters are interlinked. So that means that it is kind of on you to help someone play their character. Like I said, Pat and I's character are very deeply tied together. Our characters have never had sex with each other because my character's homosexual, thank God. But
and I play a chick.
And he plays a chick. And the
so limiting.
And the thing is that there is a shared history between our characters. We made our characters together. We shared our history together. You have to be involved. If you're not going to like step out and kind of take a break from the game, you still have to be involved because the characters are still tied together. Like I said, Pat and I's character are very intricately involved with each other. But for me not to play my character, just to sit there and kind of, whenever the game master asks me something, I answer, but other than that, I just don't do anything, would detract partially from Pat's playing of his character. Because we've tied them together. And then the way Monster Hearts works, it's mechanically necessary to tie your characters in with everybody else as well.
I think there's another reason I would give for playing a game you don't like. This is going to sound really counterintuitive, because I think there's a lot of people that would say, I have a limited amount of free time. This is supposed to be fun. Why would I want to do something with that free time?
I have always hated the argument in role-playing games of, we have to get 100% maximized fun all the time, every time. Well, and you can't run an engine that high.
Well, no, you can't. You can't expect that kind of perfection, but I think there's something else here, which is, if you have a level of friendship with your role-playing group, if you are more than just fellow role-players, I remember in one of my prior groups, we had something going where about once a week or once every other week, we would have just more of a social outing, bring the significant others, whatever. And we'd all go out and we just do various things, mini golf, bowling, whatever it was we could think of. And I remember it was always really freaking hard to plan these things, because you've got, I mean, let's say 5, 10, 12 people involved. And no matter what you come up with, there's one jerk who doesn't want to do it.
Mini golf. I play real golf.
Yeah, whatever it was, there was always at least one person. And pretty soon, these things became a real hassle, And what we could do became very samey, yeah. very boring. And I had several arguments with this group where I said, guys, look, why don't you accept that maybe this time we're going to do something that isn't your most favoritist thing in the world,
yeah.
but you can still have a good time hanging with your friends. We're not going out for a ball smashing.
I mean, they're not saying, it's not like they're saying mini golf. I hate mini golf. My parents were killed on a mini golf course by a mini golf instructor. Yeah. You horrible bastard.
I have
bastard.
My next character.
And,
yep.
And so their antithesis of fun is mini golf, and you cannot do
yeah,
it.
It's just
they just don't care for it. So they're putting a hard stop on it because it's not 100% maximization of fun.
Yeah, exactly.
And it got
to be like, man,
bugs the shit out of me.
Your friends just want you to play Savage Worlds. It's not like they want you to play Rifts.
I know. Yeah. I mean, there are lines. But, all right.
The number of things that we could do got to be really bad. And I came to these people and I felt like a freaking parent where yeah. I was like, guys, look, we can't do what everybody wants all the time.
Right.
If you care about your friends, why don't you accept that this time we're doing something that, once again, isn't painful?
Yeah. Oh, this time,
it's
oh,
not
no,
offensive
you'll,
or
you'll
horrible.
Only have 75% level fun instead yeah. of 100% level fun. So next week, that guy can have 80% level fun while you do your 100% fun. And we're
exactly.
all here as a group.
And so I believe
there, about the math.
That there is a good reason here at the social level for playing in a game
Absolutely.
That you don't like because of the fact that, look, maybe there's something the rest of the group mm-hmm. really wants to play, or maybe there's something a GM really wants to run, and that's just part of being friends, yeah. is compromising on that kind of
Absolutely.
Stuff. I mean, Chad, look at that group that we had, I mean, just a few years ago.
Christian Neos?
No, not Christian Eos. There's a good gaming story there, which we'll
that
tell
might be a
book.
Bedtime story.
Yeah, it'll be a bedtime story about Christian and Eo. But it got to the point that there was so much pickiness that pretty much all we could play was fantasy setting,
right?
Savage World rules.
Yeah,
that was it. Because any other setting, one person or another would veto, mm-hmm. and any other rule system, one person or another would veto. And all we played every single game was some fantasy setting mm-hmm. using some Savage World hack or the straight Savage World rules, and that's all we played.
Yeah.
Because people would not step outside of that comfort zone, and mm-hmm. I'm not saying that gaming should be a miserable experience, but there's got to be some way you can still enjoy it enough.
You have to look at aspects of things, right? It's just like when it was pitched, okay, guys, everyone, how about Monster Hearts? Pat wants to play Monster Hearts, and Wayne wants to play Monster Hearts, and Beth's got an idea for a Monster Hearts game. I could sit there, and I can go, Monster Hearts, I am not going to play that. You know, thinking this in my mind, there's no positive aspect to this, and this is just going to be trash. But instead, I sat there and go, you know, I've never played Monster Hearts before. I've heard a lot of good things about it. Doesn't really seem like my kind of game, but I want to give it a try because I like trying new things. And regardless of the system or the setting, I know I'm going to find enjoyment out of it because I love seeing these guys role play. I love role playing with them. Beth has some good stories, and she's kind of, I wouldn't say that she's a totally newbie GM, but she's sort of early in her GM career, and it's fun to watch. So I loved watching Wayne develop as this GMing brain savant, crazy GMing god.
It's the shirt.
It is the shirt. And, you know, I'm enjoying watching Beth evolve and improve as a GM as she goes on this GMing journey as well. And anything I can do to get people to GM who aren't me right. is great. I mean, Sarah, there's a jokey laziness part of that, but there's also a I want everybody to GM part of that, too.
And I also accept, I don't want to strain my arms, pat myself on the back. One of the things I think I
realized I just made a visual joke. So
yeah,
sorry,
you did on
a
podcast. You know, there is a.
I've only been doing this for like, what, 8 years now?
All right. So when I was self-employed working from home, I used to listen to a fair number of podcasts. And one of the ones I listened to was a guy that talked about theology and philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
And he was actually recording university lectures. I mean, mm-hmm. so I was basically taking a college course for no credit, I guess. But
that doesn't sound smart.
Well, actually,
but
it was
no pay either. So,
well, that's yeah. true. Okay, yeah, and, fair yeah, enough. And I, look at the positives.
Well, I'm fascinated by it.
Yeah,
I was
sure,
fascinated
sure.
by it. You know, I love that kind of stuff. And he, of course, was used to being a classroom teacher where he had the whiteboard or dry erase board behind him all the time. And so he said that whenever he taught, he always had this Dumbo toy that he would put, like he'd walk in, put down his briefcase, put down his notes, and he'd put this Dumbo toy in front of him because of the big ears to remind him that there's maybe 50 or 100 people in the room, but thousands elsewhere that cannot see anything he is doing. But one of the things that I think I can fairly grant myself as a character trait is I'm not a horribly picky person. Where we go to eat, I usually don't freaking care. What are we going to game? I might have preferences, but I'll kind of go along with whatever. You know, I'm not a picky person. And so I understand, not because anyone is bad, but just because everybody's wired differently, some people are going to be more picky. They're going to have trouble finding enjoyment in a diversity of things. But having granted that, I have to think that for most people, in most situations, you can find something in a game that you enjoy. I mean, role-playing is the most open-ended hobby on the face of the earth. I literally do not believe there is a more open-ended social, let me add that in there, hobby outside of role-playing. There has got to be something in there, even if it's not your favorite, even if this or that about the rules annoys you or somebody else's character annoys you or whatever. I mean, you can't tell me that you can't for a moment just check yourself, chill out, and find something in there that you enjoy. Something about your character, something about the world. Good God, compromise. Go to the group and say, you know, I'm not really that interested in this game, but what I would be interested in is if my character could do this or this part of the setting.
Yeah.
Meet them halfway. Say, fine, you guys really want to play. Wayne's got wild talents in front of him, so go with that. You guys really want to play wild talents. I don't. But couldn't we just explore this a little? Or can I have a character like that?
With Monster Hearts, I did two things to really make myself happy. I played a ghost, which is something that I've been wanting to play for a long time. I've been wanting to explore that. And you can't do that in Dresden because the ghosts aren't quite all together there mentally. They're kind of like one track, one trick pony sort of things.
They're not really sentient beings.
Right. And I kind of been wanting to play around with the idea of playing a ghost. And then I also played someone who is very old, a historical perspective, because I love history. And so I was able to tie some history wank in there too. And so I could make myself happy in that way. And I was thinking about, Dan, some of your past RPG, how your group's abused you and you're like a battered RPG player. Because it is true. I mean, I have been part of those groups where it's the party of no. It's everyone saying, well, I don't like this, and I don't like this, and I don't like this, so we have to do this. And I was thinking about that, and it's just like, you know what? Stop making it about yourself.
Yes.
You know, you are in a group of people. Try making it about them. What can you do to make them happy? What can you do to make their day?
And then
if everybody's doing that, guess what? Everybody's going to be trying to make everybody happy.
Yes, precisely. And I don't think you even have to go to some codependent extreme with that. Mm-hmm. You can still have yourself in the equation somewhere.
Yeah.
Let me share a story that I don't know we've ever given on the show before.
Are you going to let him share this story?
I am.
You are. See, you're thinking of him.
I do. Yeah.
He showed me Christy Swanson pictures earlier.
You are the no guy. I will say Pat is really good to role play with because he's not the no guy. You have very specific tastes and things that you like out of role playing games, but you are so willing to try things and you're so willing to play ball, so to speak.
I was sitting here thinking, it's like, I don't think I've ever really vetoed a setting. The only thing that would come close to it is,
and you were like, why are we playing this? But you can
The only thing that comes close to that, and it's not really vetoing things, is Dan, you used to, one of the things that you would do, I think it was you, is you said, here are three game systems we could play or whatever. Rank them in the order that you are most interested in. You know, like, what's your, you know, didn't you do that?
Yeah.
Okay, BattleTech, Guys of Glass, Epic of Rhysos. Rank them in order.
One, two.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, well, okay, I wanted this. That would be way, but even that, that's not really saying no to something. It's just picking your favorite. But anyway, back to, I don't know where we were.
Yeah, all right.
I'm allowing Dan to tell a story.
And everyone knows I'll play whatever system you sit in front of me.
Yeah.
Because I want to try every system out there, even really bad ones.
You're making up for lost time.
Exactly.
The first time that I met you, it's like you kind of stopped being the boss and we started being friends. And I realize that you're this gigantic, huge nerd.
Wayne is like the pastor's kid who just went to college with a credit card.
Yes.
And I'm a shout out Ramsey.
Thank God you're a male. That's all I'm going to say in that scenario.
I had this realization that role-playing games have been missing from Wayne's life. I had this epiphany many, many years ago, and I remember I bought you dice, and I was like trying to do everything I could to get you into role-playing games, because it's like, you need this. You need this in your life.
So here's my story. A couple years back, the group was talking about what we want to run next. I wanted to run a Star Trek game. Chad wanted to run a fantasy game. So the two of us were kind of, you know, these are the
we
two.
We took our shirts off, oiled up.
Yes.
And got in the pit.
Then we got back to gaming.
See, I told you want him to tell this story.
Right. Yes. So the two of us are there with one of us wants to run one game, one of us wants to run another. Since you'll recall, we have not played Star Trek as a group anytime recently.
Yes.
It was the fantasy game on out. Mm-hmm. Well, then as the fantasy world starts to develop, it's like, well, there's going to be like these vampires that kind of rule the world and blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah. And, you know, other people are kind of buying into this, but I still is like, I'm not really feeling it. Mm-hmm. But I made the conscious decision that I'm not going to be a dick.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I said is I'm going to find something in here that I can enjoy because I'm really not in the mood.
And this was I just said something bad here. This was hard for you to not be a dick. No, that's what, as I was saying, I realized, wow, that's what that sounds like.
It was difficult for me.
It was difficult for you to not be a dick.
Yes.
It was difficult.
No, you enjoy running games. You enjoy running games more than you like
and
playing.
And at the time, true.
So there were like a lot of hurdles for you to jump
and
not be a dick.
And at the time, it was also, I really wasn't in the mood for fantasy because once again, we'd been doing Fantasy Savage Worlds to death. Now, Savage Worlds was not the system that we were talking about, but still another fantasy game. But
and we hated the vampire idea because I hated
vampire. Hated
the
vampire
but the point
idea.
Is,
yeah, we dropped the vampire.
So let's hold it at this moment in time.
Yeah,
I wanted a GM. I didn't get the ball.
Right.
Chad got the ball. I didn't want to play fantasy. That's what we're playing. It's a setting that originally, before we started noodling with it, had vampires ruling the world. Not really my thing.
Got a lot going against you emotionally.
Exactly.
At that point. Yeah.
And so I think for a minute, and it's like, I've got two options. I can be a dick, or I can try and make the best of this. And I said, you know, I'm going to try and make the best of this. Chad's given us pretty free rein. What is something that I've always wanted to do in D&D and never really had the chance to do for a really good length of time? Mm-hmm. Play a monstrous character.
Mm-hmm.
Chad, can I play a gnoll? By this point, anyone who's been listening to the show knows where this is headed.
Wasn't it something other than a gnoll initially?
I threw out a couple monsters, but
if
a gnoll
you
was
throw
one
out, Weenik, I'm sure first, I shot it down.
I remember the first one you made, you came up to
Eric was an ogre.
The ogre was just too powerful.
It was an ogre, and it was too powerful. I shot my own character down
because
he was so outlandishly powerful.
Yes, and then we started doing the math on it. We're like, whoa.
Yeah, this guy was going to be a god. I mean, it was just, he was outlandishly powerful. And so we axed that and then switched to the gnoll.
Mm-hmm.
And out of that came what is certainly in the top three characters I have ever played. He's a character I've really
loved. Narl.
I love Fuzzy. Yeah. And I love this character. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the point.
Well, not just the character you created.
The world, the background,
the NPC,
the relationship that he had with Pat's character in particular, but Wayne's character as well.
You sunk a lot of your heart and soul into this.
I did. And I developed that whole clan, the whole culture, all those NPCs. Actually, by the time it was done, I was actually playing about half a dozen different Narl was the main one, but he was not the only one. I was playing actually kind of his inner circle. But here's the point. Let's back that up to the moment when it started. We're sitting there in a restaurant and I'm not getting my way.
Yeah.
And
on a basic human lizard brain level, that sucks.
Yes,
it sucks.
The point is, I decided to put on my big boy pants and say, you know what? I'm going to go along with what my friends are choosing and not be a baby about it. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I'm going to find something out of this that I like. Because good God, how uncreative are you to look at something as big as a role-playing game and not find anything?
And then have a GM like me who's like, what do you, here's your blank check and here's the pin to
exactly.
Write on.
As long as I write a reasonable amount.
Reasonable.
And you know what was great about that moment? When you're going in, you're thinking, okay, we've done fantasy to death. We've done Savage Worlds to death. I'm sitting there thinking, I've never really played fantasy. Yeah. I want to try I want to do a D&D game because I've never played D&D. In fact,
well, I don't know if you remember, Wayne, you were the tie-breaking vote.
Yeah, and it was because Chad threw out whatever system he was trying to come up with and said, sure, I'll run it in D&D.
Yeah.
Meaning, you guys will run it for me in D&D.
But you don't know where the game is going to go if you just freaking attempt to make the best of it. And I cannot urge you enough to do that, because not only is it good for your friendships and the health of your social circle, not only is it the reasonable thing for adults to compromise and meet each other halfway, but if you give it a chance, you really don't know where that's going to end up. And I really can say that some of my best gaming stories, and if not my favorite, certainly in my top three characters I've ever played, came out of a game that I didn't want going into it.
Yeah.
Is that what's going to happen every time? No, obviously not. That's not how life works. Mm-hmm. But you can still choose the attitude you're going to have about it. Looks like this is going to be a little bit of a short episode, but we don't want to beat this one to death. Once again, Fear the Con 8 is coming up June 11th, 12th, and 13th. We'll have a Kickstarter for that coming soon. Expect the details on the backer rewards and exactly how we're going to work it. Just give us a little bit of time to figure this out. We just want you guys to know what's coming. And then also Sojourn 2, links are out there. So if you want to go pick up a copy of that, which you know you do. So,
oh, please, they have it already. They have five copies.
They have two copies.
That's right. Real gamers have two copies.
That's right. All right. So beyond that, have a great week and great games, and we will catch you next time.
See ya.
This has been a production of Fear the Boot, copyright 2015. Listeners are free to use this show in any non-commercial endeavor as long as credit is provided to feartheboot.com. You can find previous episodes and other resources at feartheboot.com. Fear the Boot is also a member of the Pulp Gamer Media Network of shows. You can find other great shows in this network at pulpgamer.com.